this morning from this short epistle or short set of scriptures that we know so very well, I want to talk to you about standing firm in 2025. And this is something that's been on my heart. Again, I wasn't supposed to be teaching today. And when I found out yesterday that, I was going to be teaching, this is, since this had been so heavy upon my heart, I figured the Lord would have me share with you. I believe as we start out the new year, as we start out the new year, 2025, every believer, not only at Calvary, every believer, we must, in America, we must have the right mindset. And the reason I say that is because right now, and I'm not faulting this, I'm not belittling this, it's just an observation, which is true, many, many Christians are acting like, wow, happy days are here again. You know, we are, let the good times roll all of a sudden because of the election and so forth. You know, man, listen, all of a sudden, God, America is being governed by God again, and we're back on the straight and narrow. That's what we call deception. Because America is not being governed by God, it's being governed by man. Amen? Very, very important, loved one. Listen to me now. You know, we want to have good people in Congress, in the Senate, in the Supreme Court. And this is not a political message because I don't do political messages. I'm just showing you something. And we need to pray for all those in authority, the White House and so forth. Amen? That's the natural realm. We're a spiritual people, okay? Now listen, whoever is in the White House, I don't know if you believe this or not. Right now there's a great joy. Praise the Lord. If we believe that maybe things are going to change, okay, well, that's great. But the thing is this, the White House does not define our reality. Amen. The White House does not define our truth. Do you understand? God does. Amen. It doesn't define who we are. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We are citizens, dual citizens, citizens of this country, but we're citizens of heaven. Amen? And the reason I say all that I've said is this. It's very important to understand in 2025 that the defeated one, here's what he wants, the wicked one, the devil, he wants every Christian in America, but we're talking about our church right now. He wants every Christian in America. He wants the church to now say, hey, we can relax. Everything's good. Everything's going to change. It's, you know, and so forth. And here's what happens when you start relaxing. You lay aside the armor of God. You're no different. We're no different than King David. It says, the Bible says, in the time, in the spring of the year when kings should go out to war, did David go out to war? No, he laid aside his armor. He didn't go to battle. Did it cost him? And it will cost you. It will cost us, loved one. We can't lay aside our armor. We can't relax. See, here's the deal. The angel of light, he appears as an angel of light. Meaning that he makes dark things look like bright things or light things. He makes what's right or what's wrong look like it's right. Okay, that's what he does. And he does not want you, the Christian, you, the church, he does not want you to discern what's really happening right this moment. And what is happening is this. We are in a spiritual warfare, amen? But what we're not discerning is that spiritual warfare is not only accelerating, it is going to move forward like you cannot believe this year. And we're not ready. See, we're relaxing. Christians are saying, okay, everything's going to be better. Well, that may be in the natural realm, but it's not going to be in the spiritual realm. Does that make sense? So we have to be prepared, loved one. See, the father of all lies, the devil. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. You know what he wants you to do this year, all of us? He wants you to buy into his lie in 2025. And what is that? He wants the church, he wants the Christian to believe that all is well. Everything's okay now. The elections are over and so forth, and everything's getting ready to change and so forth. Well, can I tell you something? That's a lie. All is not well. And you want me to tell you why all is not well? Because nothing has changed. Nothing has changed, loved one. Oh, listen, he wants the devil. He wants as many Christian casualties as he can attain in 2025. Christians today, forget something. The Christian life is not a playground, is it? No, it is a battleground. Amen? And listen now, and the more effective that a believer becomes for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more effective a Christian becomes for the kingdom of God, the greater the attack from the wicked one will be upon him, his or her life. Did you know that? And he never stops. He never, never lets up. But I can tell you also that he doesn't kick a dead horse either. Spurgeon said that, by the way, so don't blame me. Now, you say, Bill, nothing has changed. What do you mean? Well, let me ask you a question. I'm telling you that nothing has changed at all. Question. Mario, Pastor Marshall, does a Christian still live in enemy territory? Oh, I thought that changed. Did that change with the election? No. Can it change if they pass laws in Congress? No. Loved one, listen to me. The Bible is very clear. We live right this moment, right now. We live in the enemy's territory. The world doesn't believe that. The lost don't believe that, but the Christian better believe that. Amen? Bill, prove it. 1 John 5:19. We know we are of God. Amen? We know we belong to God. We know that we're the light of the world. But the whole world, John the Apostle of Love says this, the whole world lies in the arms or in the sway, in the cradle, unconscious, in the arms of the wicked one. That godless society that doesn't want anything to do with God, anything to do with Jesus. Listen, he is the God. Jesus called the devil the God of this age. Amen? Little g, not big G, all right? So we need to be prepared. Nothing has changed. We still live in enemy territory. And guess what the devil is doing even today? Let me tell you what he's doing. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, Peter writes. In other words, get your mind right, your mindset. Be vigilant, be on alert, be watchful. He says, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a what kind of lion? Roaring lion. Do you know that's only there in the New Testament right there in the Greek? It means he's walking around like a savage beast that is howling. He is so hungry for a victim. He's so hungry to tear anyone apart that he can because he hates everyone. Did you know that? Okay. He walks about like a roaring lion, and here's what he's doing. Seeking whom he may devour. He goes from this place to that place, over here, over there, that family, this government, watching. He's always watching. He's always the tempter. He's always like hiding and disguising himself like he did in the garden there in Genesis 3. Loved one, he hasn't changed a bit. It says he is seeking whom he may devour. He wants a victim. So Peter gives us a command in verse 9 of the text I'm reading from and says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast. Those are military words in the Greek, military terms. It means stand firm. Don't you let him or any circumstance or what you're going, don't let it move you. So we're to stand firm in 2025. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Now listen, we all know that we're children of the light. Amen? We all know that we're sons and daughters of God. We know that we're not of this world. We know that we live in enemy territory. And we all know that we truly are, every day of our lives, we are in a spiritual battle until the day we depart to go home to heaven. Amen? Do you think Satan or the demons, those fallen angels, are going to leave you alone on your deathbed? No, they don't do that. Even then, they want you to be unsure of God's love and God's care. You understand? We are in a war right this minute. So we're to stand firm every day in 2025 by putting on what God has provided for us in his word, unless you want to be a casualty in 2025. Yesterday, as I was preparing this message, and I didn't have a lot of time, and I this word came to me as I don't know how to explain it, but let me read it. Talking about the devil. He wants the Christian, he wants you in the wrong place at the right time. His right time. Do you understand? He wants you in the wrong place where you shouldn't be. He wants you in the wrong place at the right time, meaning his right time. Boy, we need to be wise. We need to stand firm in the battle we're facing this year every day. Amen? So verse 10 is where it all begins, and he tells us how to stand firm. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. So every believer, when it comes to any type of battle we face, spiritual battles and so forth, every Christian, we begin right here. We are to stand firm in the power of the Lord. It's his power. It's not our power. Amen? And we're to stand firm in it because there's no other place to get it. It's in the Lord. Did you know that the Bible teaches in Ephesians 1:19 that all the power of God is directed toward you, his people? Can you believe that? It's directed toward you. All of his love, it's because you are his children, loved one. And I think, dear Lord, you're good. So by faith, every day, we have to believe with all of our hearts. Believe what God said. Stand. Don't fight with your own power. I'll give you everything that you need, amen, to stand. And then he says in verse 10 again, let me read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says to do something. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? There's that word stand again. Stand firm or stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies, the trickeries, if you will, of the devil. Now, I want you to catch this. Did you see what Paul just told us what not to do? What not to do. And it's so important that you see this. No Christian can stand against any of the powers of darkness or the wicked one in his own strength or his own wisdom. You don't have it. I don't have it. Amen? So he told us, oh, whatever you do, man, don't stand in your own wisdom. Listen, I have learned that self-sufficiency, believe me, self-sufficiency is spiritual suicide. It's going to get you in trouble every time. Listen, the Bible is so clear about the world we live in and how we're to fight. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, for though we live in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh. In other words, we are in a battle, but we don't war with fleshly things. It says, the Bible goes on, it says, for the weapons of our warfare, we're in a war. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down, or literally the destroying of strongholds. Okay? Amen? So what did he just say? He said, we can't depend on human wisdom. We can't depend on human weapons because we have heavenly weapons that at our disposal. Listen, there is no way to fight an invisible enemy. We don't see him. We don't know where he's at. You can't fight him with fleshly weapons or with carnal weapons. Amen? There's no way. Now, I want you to note something, though, in verse 11. And this is so important. It is not your armor. Look at whose armor it is. It says, put on the whole armor of what? It's God's armor. And you see the words put on. Now, if you were a Greek, if you were able to study all that out, the original languages, that is in what we call an aorist imperative, okay, which is an urgent command. So it's not something that you would delay. It requires immediate action every day of your life, okay? So we're commanded, that urgent command, and means that every believer now, every Christian, we are all responsible to do this, to put on the whole armor of God. And then it tells us, then we go out and fight the devil like crazy, right? We just go, you know, binding this and screaming at him, and you know what I'm saying, and does it say that? No. I want you to listen to this incredible battle plan. Four times in our study, Paul, the apostle, who's in prison writing this, four times he uses the word stand firm, okay? So to stand firm in 2025, he doesn't say, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to fight. You need to run or fall apart, be terrified or scream at the devil. No, none of those things. He tells you to do this. The word stand means to literally to dig in. I mean, to become firm. Just, I mean, you're immovable, okay? It means, it's a military term for holding your position. Now listen, if you do that, if you stand firm in 2025 in what God tells you to do, that means that you will have complete possession of the battle, the circumstance, whatever you're facing. It doesn't mean you won't hurt. It doesn't mean you won't cry. It doesn't mean you won't grieve. It doesn't mean that you won't feel pressure. It doesn't even mean that you will smile, okay? But it means you will stand. And that's all, isn't that what you want? And then after you stand, then it's over, then you smile. But you won't smile if you don't stand, believe me, okay? So you have to do that. Listen, I hope that is every one of us in 2025, because I can assure you that, do you believe that the devil has a plan? God has a plan for our lives, doesn't he? Well, the devil, he has a plan too. He has a plan for every marriage. He has a plan for every home. He has a plan for every Christian, every person. He doesn't like anyone. He is a destroyer. Boy, the plan, I'm telling you, you know what the God of this age, his plan is, especially with a believer? The first thing he wants to do is steal your God-given calling. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? He wants to steal your calling. He doesn't want you to ever say, you know what? I'm going to work worthy, Ephesians 4:1. I'm going to walk worthy of my calling. Remember what the word worthy means in the Greek? It's a picture of a set of scales where you're equal in doctrine and equal in application. In other words, you just don't hear the word, hear the word, hear the word. You hear the word and do the word. And when you do that, you have a balanced walk. Amen? Did that make sense? Okay, so here, he wants to steal your calling. He wants you not to fulfill anything God has ever called you to do. He wants to steal that from you. Not only that, he wants to come upon and he wants you to do something else. He wants to kill your spiritual gifts. Don't ever use them. He never wants them to be manifested. Never wants them to be discovered. And he also wants to do something else. He wants to destroy, if he can, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, it's not the fruit of your spirit, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, amen? He wants to destroy the love and the joy and the peace and the goodness and the kindness and the long-suffering that lives in you by never letting it surface. He wants to keep you down. He doesn't want one gift, good gift that God has placed in you to ever emerge and help somebody else. Does that make sense? He comes to do, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil, what does he do? He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, listen, man. We've got to stand firm. Now listen, the adversary, the wicked one, he wants you to fight him his way. Oh, he loves that. But God says, no, no, no. God tells you to stand firm. We have to submit to the Lord. Amen? James 4:7, submit unto the Lord, and the devil will what? But he's not going to flee unless you do, number one, submit to the Lord. Amen? And so that's what we are to do. And the words submit or resist and he will flee from you, those are military words too. You stand firm. He's going to run from you when you do it God's way. So that's a command and a promise in James 4:7. Now, when we simply obey, we put on the armor of God, the whole armor of God, and we stand, just stand. You're not going to be, not budged. You're just going to stand through it all. It's hard. It's not happy times or here again or any of those things. But when we stand, then what happens is we start seeing God fighting our battles because we're doing what he told us to do. Amen? And that's so important. So by faith, it's God's will that you stand and not be a victim of the evil one. However, but listen carefully, why in the world would Satan want you to fight him? Fight him your way. Fight him his way. Because if you do so, you're going to lose. Do you understand? You're going to lose, loved one. See, Satan is so smooth. Satan, does he want to rule? Does he want control? Does he want advantage? Boy, he does. Now listen, if we don't, every day, stand firm in 2025, if we don't obey that one command right now, to put on the whole armor of God. If we don't obey that, Christian, listen, who's ruling? Who's in control? It's the wicked one, isn't it? And you know why? Because we have now done something. We know to put on the full armor, the whole armor of God, but we don't do it. That means now that we have opened a door through our disobedience by not obeying that command. You see, God's commandments are our enablement, someone has said. Amen? So what have we done? If we don't, then all of a sudden the devil goes, oh boy, thank you so much. You're not going to do what God says. You know, that's too hard for you just to stand, isn't it? You want to yell and scream and fight and do it with your wisdom. And I love it, he says. I love it. And you know what you do when you do it his way? Ephesians 4:27. You have now opened and given opportunity to the devil. In other words, you have opened a door for him through that disobedience. Does that make sense? And boy, he'll take advantage of that. Now, look at verse 10 again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. And that power is infinite, by the way. A command again, put on the whole armor of God, all of it. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Boy, if the church could just ever get that. You know, the people are not our enemies. Listen, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Yes, I know that the devil uses flesh and blood, though. Amen? I mean, whenever what happened in Louisiana when that person drove that truck through Bourbon Street, I mean, that was flesh and blood, wasn't it? But who was behind that? The devil. You think God was behind that? No, of course not. You know, the wickedness in the world. When you drive, you're on a subway in New York, you're just there going to the next destination. Somebody comes up and sets you on fire and then starts fanning the flame until it burns you to death. Is that God? No. Where did it come from? Well, Satan uses flesh and blood. But we have to war against who's behind that. Does that make sense? Our wars are not against the flesh and blood. It'll be in vain if we look at it that way, loved one. See, Satan's method is this. You know, let's just tear each other apart. Don't tear darkness apart. Tear the light of the world apart and so forth and so forth. Now listen, as long as the light of the world looks at flesh and blood as an enemy, as long as we do that, loved one, I'm going to tell you, the church will never stand firm in any year, especially in 2025. It says, but we, here in verse 12 again, we don't wrestle against principalities. Now that's that rulers of there in the heavenlies and so forth. Against powers, that the word is dunamis. Demons with power who work for the wicked one, the fallen angels, if you will. They hate mankind just like their master, the devil, hates mankind. And their methods are always to keep people in darkness or cause mental blindness so people would not receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Against rulers, plural, of the darkness of this age. Wow. Against spiritual hosts, another plural, of wickedness. In other words, host means armies, thousands, myriads of wicked, evil spirits. And look at their location in the heavenly places. Now, that is the region above the earth, but below heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:2, it says that the prince of the power of the air who now works in the sons of disobedience. So here, the world rulers of darkness, that's that antichrist spirit, if you will, that's in the world today. They don't want anything to do with God. They hate God. They're an enemy of God. And they're so wicked. You know what they do to lost people? I mean, if somebody told me what I'm about to tell you when I was lost, I would say, you're out of your mind. A person that is lost, are they in darkness? Well, Satan, do you think he wants to disturb that darkness? No. He doesn't want to disturb their darkness at all. See, he knows that people that are not saved, he knows that unknowingly they love darkness. Jesus is the one who told us that. Amen? They love darkness. They don't know that they love darkness, but they love darkness, and they're comfortable in darkness because they've never known anything but darkness because they're in Adam. Does that make sense? Man. And he said, oh, no, we're not gonna mess around with the lost. He wants to keep them held captive in darkness because he is the prince of darkness, loved one. And we're called to be fishers of men, aren't we? We're called to bring them out of darkness. Aren't you glad that we've been delivered from the power of darkness? We were once darkness, but now we're light, the Bible says. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said this in John 12, 46, I have come as a light unto the world, that whoever believes in me, whoever says, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, should not abide or live or dwell in darkness, but have the light. Paul says in verse 13, another command, therefore, based on what we've learned now, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, or literally stand firm and resist in the evil day. Well, may I tell you that every day is evil? Amen? And having done all to stand in the midst of the attack or that horrible circumstance or whatever you're faced with, loved one, listen, he says to do one thing, stand. Therefore, there's that word, stand firm until the very end. You know, do you believe the Word of God? Okay, yes. But do you believe what it says? I think it's 2 Thessalonians 3:3 or something, that the wicked one touches you not. Do you believe that? He can't take you back. You belong to God. He can't touch you. He touches you not. Can you stand firm in that? Do you believe that the devil is defeated? Yes, he is. Now, there are other Christians and churches that teach, oh, the devil's he's bound. Well, if he's bound, like I've always said, he's on a long, long chain. Amen? He's causing trouble wherever he goes. But we can stand firm knowing, loved one, that the wicked one touches us not. I mean, that is the Word of God. You can stand firm in that. You can stand firm because you believe the Word of God and that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's already a given. It's already there. You can stand firm because God has not given the believer the spirit of fear, the spirit of cowardness, but of love and a power and a sound mind. Amen? You have that right now living in you. So he says again in verse 14, another command. He says, stand firm, stand therefore, having done something, past tense, having girded your waist, that means to be in a constant state of readiness, having girding your waist with what? Okay, first one is truth. And another past tense, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When did the breastplate of righteousness become yours? At the new birth, amen? Okay, now, the first one, the belt of truth. Satan hates truth. You know why he hates truth? John 8:44, Jesus told us, he is the father of all lies, every lie. He's the father of them all. And listen, his lies are so seductive that they enable a lost person by deception to believe, act on, and trust in and live their lives by something that is not true. And the lie that they believe to them is truth. That is horrifying, isn't it? Oh, that's what he does. Listen, our authority is the living Word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. My life scripture that I became a Christian. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set or make you free. Who is the truth? His name is Jesus, John 14:16. Amen. 14:16. He's the truth. Amen? Now, no, 14:6, I'm sorry. Is it 14? Yeah. Second service, I'm worn out, I guess. You guys are just pulling too much out of me. 14:6, I am the way, I'm the truth, the life. Amen? Now, the second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. I can't tell you how important this one is. Boy, I mean, it says taking it, or having it rather, having put on something that you do there. You put on the breastplate of that righteousness. Now, do you ever think of that, of righteousness as a weapon, a piece of armor? But believe me that it is. And here's why. no believer can stand against the attacks, the methods, the strategies of the wicked one in their own righteousness. Does that make sense? Okay. Because see, Satan, is he the accuser of the brethren? Oh, he'll accuse you over and over. Now listen, you know, we need a breastplate then. Number one, that never changes. Number two, that is absolutely eternally perfect forever and ever and ever. Now, and we have that. The great doctrine of justification, just as if you had never sinned, remember? Justification is where God declares the believing sinner, okay? Jesus be my Lord. And God declares the believing sinner not guilty, and also you will never be guilty ever again in your life, or called guilty by God. Why? Jesus paid it all. Amen? Now, you're in Christ Jesus. So there, that imputation or imputed righteousness, that perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus. You know, the definition of imputed righteousness, let me give it to you. It's from 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, "For he," meaning God, "made him," meaning Jesus, "sin." He made Jesus sin. He bore the sin of the world. In other words, God, as you've heard me say so many times, God the Father treated his Son as if he had sinned all the sins of the world. Does that make sense? He treated him that way. Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away, paid the sin debt of the world. Amen? So it says, let me read it again. "For he made him who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So what happened? This breastplate of righteousness. God did something. God took all of our sins and imputed them over upon Jesus, our Lord, as he took our place on the cross. Okay? He bore them all. And then God did something when we believed in his Son, Jesus, when we asked him to be our Lord. He then imputed over to the believing sinner, said, "Jesus be my Lord," the perfect life, the perfect, spotless, sinless record that Jesus has. He put it into our account. Does that make sense? So when God looks at you, your position, not your practice, when God looks at you, he sees you absolutely sinless and perfect in his Son, because Jesus paid it all. Amen? Amen. That's a great word. It is a great word. We should have tambourines out. I'm serious. Listen to me now. And so whenever you're fighting, you're in a battle, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The accuser of the brethren. Look at you. Look what you did yesterday. Look what's going on in your life. Am I right or wrong? Come on. But you have to say, "No, you don't understand my breastplate. I have my breastplate of righteousness belongs to Jesus." See, every piece of the armor is Jesus. Did you know that? Yeah. And listen, what can he do? He can do nothing. You can accuse me. "Yep, I sure did that back then 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Boy, I was a heathen." You follow me? But now my Father in heaven sees me, my position, perfect. Because I'm in the perfect one. And in order, Satan, you accuse me, in order for me to lose my perfect, eternal righteousness that will never fade away, Jesus would have to lose his, and that ain't going to happen. Amen? Amen. That's right. And so listen, that's how important it is, but you have to know that. You have to believe that. In the midst of the Bible, you have to stand firm in 2025, covered with Jesus's perfect, sinless record. Verse 15, this is paramount. "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, let's just stop right there. A lot of well-meaning Christians, and I respect their views and so forth, they're saying that we're talking about the beautiful feet of those who go and preach the good news of the gospel. Well, that's a good a scripture to go with this, but that's not what this is saying, okay? So when we look at the gospel of peace, we're not talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Does that make sense? In other words, this is being in the state of peace because of the war. You see? The state of peace. Peace is your balance. It says your feet. It says that is your balance. So peace is your balance. It's not spreading the gospel of peace, but standing in the gospel of peace. And that'll never happen if you don't believe that, and if you don't take that word preparation and know what it means. The word preparation right here literally means the state of being constantly ready. It means you stand in firm footing. You're not preparing to be ready. You are ready right this minute. So here's the deal. To stand firm in the time of battle or circumstance or whatever you're facing, tragedy hits your family, whatever is coming against you, okay? Loved one, listen to me. We have to stand firm in peace, God's peace. I can assure you, like I told the early service, when Thomas called me at 1:30 in the morning and he was speeding to the hospital with Willa and said, "Dad, she's not breathing right." And of course, he was speeding, but Thomas always speeds. And he said, "You and Mama got to pray." And that's immediately what we started doing. We just lay there and we prayed. Dan, Stacy, they went down to the hospital. We prayed and prayed. Can I tell you, can you imagine the thoughts that came into my mind? Do you understand? I mean, they flood your mind. Things that... She's not going to make it. Y'all know it. I know it. Come on. We've all been there. And so you're in a battle, man. And I'm going, "No, I can't. That's going to get out of my mind. I'm not doing that." And I just start praying. And Becky was praying. We're praying. And so forth. Now, the reason I told you all that is that you have to stand firm in that kind of mental battle because the devil doesn't want you to have peace, does he? Okay, now listen. Here's what it is. The reason we stand in the gospel of peace is this. The enemy doesn't want you to stand in it. Why? Here's what he wants. He wants you chasing and running to this, to that, to this, to try to find peace in the midst of the battle and so forth. You'll run over here, run over there. "Oh, I've got to have peace. I'm falling apart. I see what's happening." And you can't take anymore. But God says, "No, wait a minute, you're not doing what I told you to do. We're to stand firm in battle, standing in peace," and the devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants you looking for peace in all the wrong places at the right time, but not your time, his time. That's when he traps you. Do you understand me? When you start running to this or that or him or her or whatever it is to have that peace that you need when your whole life is falling apart, your whole family's falling apart, your marriage is falling apart, listen, you don't run to this, to that, and that. You don't chase after anything. You stand firm. You don't move. And you stand firm in because your feet are shod with the preparation. You're already prepared with the gospel of peace. We all want to run. I mean, there are times I'm just saying, I'd like to just, lock my door. I hope that doesn't offend you, but lock my door and go, "Adios, amigos." You know, muchachos, or whatever you call it, I don't know. Hasta la vista. Is that right? What does that mean? Goodbye? Does it mean goodbye? You didn't know I could speak Spanish, did you? And matter of fact, Merlinda, the church secretary, she has a picture of me with my cowboy hat and my boots and my satchel walking out that door, and right above it says exit. That's the truth. And I'm going, and the bill's gone. But see, here's the problem. We're all guilty of this. We have this feeling that we can run over here and find peace or run over there and find peace because we really sometimes believe that peace is a location. But it's not. What did David cry out? King David, he said, "Oh, if I had wings like a dove, I would fly away from this tempest, this horrible storm, and I would be at rest," or "I would be at peace." But David knows it. We know it. Peace is not a location. Peace is a person. Ephesians 2, what, 14? He himself, Jesus, he is our peace. And so here you are in the battle. Everything is falling apart. What do? You stand firm. You don't chase after anything because you already have everything you need. And you have to believe that you have everything that you need in that battle. Amen? And you have Jesus' peace living in you. He said in John 14, 27, our Lord said, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. The very peace of the Prince of Peace, he says, I'm giving it to you. You have it right this very minute. He says, oh, I don't give it as the world gives it. But he says, oh, I give it to you. Let your heart be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me ask you a question. Now listen, God is the God of all peace, isn't he? He's the God of all grace, the God of all hope, you know, the God of all peace. Now listen, someone tell me what or who can disturb God's peace. Is there any entity, anything on this planet that can disturb the peace of God? No, nothing. Now, God said, hey, there's no peace for the wicked, but there is for the Christian. Now, the Bible says a command. Be anxious for what? Nothing. I love, every time I do that, I go look up that word nothing. And you know what it means? Nothing. Anxious. Don't be torn apart, the things that you're facing in this life. Be anxious for absolutely nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because God's going to answer you with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. Amen. And the peace, God's peace that passes all understanding, will guard the two areas of your life. Will guard your what? Your heart, your mind, through Christ Jesus our Lord. The word guard in the Greek literally is a picture of God himself. He sets up a military barricade around the two areas that Satan attacks, your heart and your mind. Amen? So listen, what can disturb the very peace of God? But you have to believe it. And I know that's hard. Listen, he didn't say you're going to smile through it. He didn't say you're going to just chuckle about it. No, you can stand in the peace of God and weep. Did you know that? Come on. You can stand in the peace of God and your stomach is churning and you're hurting. But you stand. And having done all to stand, you stand firm, immovable, because we belong to an unshakable kingdom. And Jesus produces an unshakable people, amen? And that's what we are to do, loved one. And he says, oh, above all, here comes verse 16, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench, how much? Oh, what a beautiful word. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Whatever he throws at you can be extinguished, in other words. Now, listen carefully. This is important. With the words, those two words, above all, now there is a transition in our text. We're going to go from having, past tense, okay, having, to now present tense, taking, which is actually a verb, taking, okay? Now, so that means that the first three pieces of armor that we just talked about, they are always on us. They're here. We have them. When you gird yourself with truth, everything connects, all the other pieces connect to the truth. Amen? Jesus is the truth. Now, with all that being said, the next three pieces, they're not connected, but they have to be maintained always and always be in a state of readiness for battle. Okay? So you need to be prepared to do so. So it says take. That is a verb. Take the shield of faith. That is something you have to do. You have to do it. God's not going to say, no, he says, take it right now. I've provided it for you. Take the shield of faith. Listen to me now. The devil, when you're in warfare, do you think that the devil is moved because you know God's word? Do you think he's moved because you can quote God's word? Do you think he's moved because you've got God's word plastered all over your house and refrigerator and all the rest of it? You think because you have a license plate that says, you know, honk if you love Jesus or something? Come on. No, listen. You know, I mean, he's not moved if you quote God's word, memorize God's word. He is moved, when you believe God's word, when you believe it, when you stand firm in it and you believe it, Satan has to yield. Now listen to me, in battle, when faith is absent, the shield of faith, when it's absent, the shield is absent. And your victory is absent as well. Listen, Satan, he hates faith. He attacks faith, and he targets your faith. Why? Why would he target faith, your faith? Because he knows God better than we do. Did you know that? Was he the anointed cherub that brought the praise before the Lord in heaven before he was kicked out? Oh, my gosh. Oh, he knows the Lord. He knows heaven. He knows the promises of God. He knows the word of God. Demons know the word of God. What do they cry after Jesus? Oh, don't, are you come to put us into the torment us before our time and cast us into the abuso? Remember? They know the word of God. The Bible says that demons tremble, but they don't believe. Now, the reason that the devil targets our faith, and you and your faith is going to be targeted this year, is because he knows that God is a rewarder of faith. And you can't get away from that scripture. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible, not difficult, it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is the what? Rewarder. Rewarder. God wants to reward you of those who diligently seek him. And Satan knows that he can't stand it. He knows that the just must live by faith. If not, it says in Hebrews 10, what, 38 and 39, God says, I love you, but if you're not going to live by faith, my soul has no pleasure in you. Because you can only please God by faith. Romans 1:17, again, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's all about faith, loved one. Now listen. The word all in our text should just, every Christian should be shouting. We should be dancing. We should be, I'm serious, we should be charismatic for a moment, okay? You know, hubba hubba, whatever. A tambourine moment, flipping our scarf, I don't know. But the fact is, the word all should give every Christian unbelievable, tremendous, incredible assurance to every believer. Because it says all. It says, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And only the shield of faith does that. And listen, here's what we need to remember. You know, remember the fiery darts? He'd throw the dart of doubt and this and all the rest of it and try to discourage you. And we darts are thrown every day. And here's what I've learned. If he can't burn you down, because you're standing firm, if he can't burn you down, then he'll start burning your children down. Then he'll start burning your marriage down. Then he'll burn down your job. Are you listening? Then he'll burn down your health. You know what the Roman soldiers did? Because see, Paul was in prison when he wrote this, when he penned this. And they were there standing beside him with that sword and with their shield. And the shield was only so big. But do you know what? In order to quench fiery darts then of the enemy, meaning whoever they went to battle with, the Romans, what did they do? Does anybody remember the history and what they did with their shields before they went out to battle? A plus. Mario's buying your lunch today. No. They would take the shield, all of it, and leave it in the trough. And it got heavy, but it would soak in that water, and it was almost like it was fireproof. Does that make sense? Okay, water is a picture of the word of God in the Bible, amen? So you have to soak the shield of faith. If you don't know God's word, then you don't know how to get rid of the fiery dart, do you? You see, if you know the Word of God, you say, no, God said it, that settled it, here comes the fiery dart. It didn't say it was easy. It didn't say it was going to be a cinch, but you have to stand firm. You don't move. You just say, no, I believe the Word of God. God said it, that settles it. You get away from me in Jesus' name. I will not move. I will not budge. I will die right here, but I am going to stand firm with the shield of faith. And Satan, here's the deal. I don't care what you throw at me. I have the living Word of God that's greater than you, and everything you throw at me is going to be quenched the moment it hits. It'll not be productive in my life. But you have to do that. You have to believe that. You have to stand firm this year in that loved one. You cannot relax. And there's only one way to do it with the shield of faith. Only one way. It only takes these three words for you to accomplish this, okay? Here's the way you take the shield of faith every day. Three words. Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You don't look at the circumstance. You're firm-footed. You don't look at the circumstance. You don't look at the attack. You see it. You hurt. You cry. But you say, no, I know what God says, and that settles it. It settles it. And I'm looking to the one who saved me. I'm looking to his word that has never failed. It'll never pass away. I'm going to do what he says to do. And then another command, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the helmet of salvation, loved one, has nothing to do with salvation, our salvation, or being saved, okay? Were the Ephesians already saved? Yes, yeah, so it was written, Ephesians was written to Christian believers, all right? So we're not talking about that. So the helmet of salvation protects the weakest area of our body, our mind. Why? That is the place that Satan always attacks, isn't it? Oh, man, I mean, it's never ending, the things that I hear. I mean, I'm already deaf in one ear. And you ask my wife. I'm going to have to get a hearing aid. Come on, a hearing aid at my age, 45? He'll do anything to get into your thinking. That's why we have to renew our mind every day to the Word of God, amen? So this is not, the helmet of salvation is not about being saved. It is, the helmet of salvation up here is knowing that you're saved, amen? You know what you believe. So why? Because the devil, the blows come to the head. He wants you to be so unsure of your salvation. He wants you to question your salvation. And does he do that when you're under attack? Does he say, God love you? Would you, if you were really saved, if God loved you, you're really a child of God, why'd you do that? Amen? Come on. No, he attacks your mind. He wants you to question if you're truly saved or not. And here's something. If you're not sure, you can't stand firm in battle, believe me. Jesus paid it all. We're all failures, really. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? We could not live the perfect life. Jesus lived it for us. We are going from glory to glory, getting out of one trouble and leaving the trouble behind and finding new troubles, but we're getting better. Amen? And we've got to look at it from that point of view. Now listen, he wants you totally unsure of your salvation, and God wants you totally sure of your salvation in the finished work of Christ Jesus and what he has done. So you take the helmet of salvation, and here comes the next one, and the sword of the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. So the sword supplied by the Spirit, which is the Word of God, or literally that's rhema, not logos there. It's the sayings of God, if you will. And the Word of God is your only offensive weapon. You don't have any others. So Satan knows that the sword of the Spirit is the greatest supernatural weapon on earth. He knows that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Satan knows that without the Word of God, you're not complete. You're incomplete. You're not equipped for every good work. He knows that the Word of God is a basis for all transformation for a believer by the renewing of your mind. He knows all of those things. That's why he attacks the Word of God. And He'll do anything, anything to cause you to stay away from it. He'll do anything to a pastor, if he can, to make that pastor or enable that pastor to water down the Word of God, to make the Word of God anemic. Don't mention sin. Don't mention repentance and hell and all the rest of it. Loved one, listen. He wants every believer unarmed. He doesn't want anyone armed. You know what he wants? He wants Christians to use a sword against one another and tear each other apart, but not the wicked one. Amen? How did Jesus defeat the wicked one? With the Word of God. He demonstrated Satan's defeat, and so are we with the Word of God. And if you study out, say, Matthew 4, there the temptation scene with Jesus and the devil, Jesus defeated the wicked one with what I call wilderness scriptures, because they all are from Deuteronomy. Just one of them. He looked at the devil and says, it is written, it stands written, it will always be written, it'll never be changed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's what we're to do. And then in verse 18, quickly. Now, a lot of people don't believe that verse 18 is part of the armor of God, but I do. It says praying how often? Always, on all the time, all occasions, okay? Praying always with all kinds of prayer, supplication. And look how we do it, in the Spirit. And being watchful to this end with all perseverance, all supplication for all the saints. Now listen, Satan doesn't want one Christian, especially because a lot of Christians have now said, okay, I've got to start with my prayer life. This is a brand new year. So you say, okay, I've got to have that discipline. And that's great. But I got to tell you something. He doesn't want you to offer up one prayer to the true and living God, because this is his territory. He doesn't want to hear the name Jesus. Did you know that? He doesn't want to hear it at all. He doesn't care, Christian, if you believe in prayer, that if you talk about prayer, that you read books on prayer. He doesn't care of how many sermons you hear on prayer. As long as you never, ever have a quality prayer life. Why is that? Did you know that Satan is afraid of things? Did you know that? Didn't they say the demons tremble and believe? They believe, but they tremble? Is that right? Well, Satan, he trembles too. He is afraid of a believer that will develop a prayer life and go to the throne of grace. See, why is that? Because he knows who is sitting at the right hand of God at the throne of grace. He knows who has been all power in heaven and upon earth. Amen? He knows who the one who sits there defeated him on the cross and rendered him inoperative, and not only that, destroyed him who had the power over death, and that was the devil. Jesus rendered them all inoperative. They are all defeated. He knows who's there. Oh, he doesn't want you to go there at all, loved one. He'll do anything to discourage you from going there. He'll do anything to limit your time in prayer. You'll be battling your iPad, your iPhone, yourself, I don't know, whatever. Flush that thing down the toilet. You know, sometimes I just flush my toilet just to see something that works. No, I'm serious, I do. It worked. Praise the Lord. Nothing works for, does that work? No, I don't know where that came from. I say, dear Lord, listen. He doesn't want you to go to the throne of grace. Do you know why? Because he knows, the Satan, he knows what is freely available to every believer who has faith. It says in Hebrews 4:16, you know the scripture, let us come how? Boldly, full of confidence, full of freedom of speech, okay? Come boldly to the throne of not judgment, the throne of unmerited, unearned, undeserved, divine favor of the living God. It's an invitation. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And there's a reason, that we might obtain something. Mercy. We all need mercy. That's not talking about our salvation. Mercy, it says here, to do something, to find grace, to help. The throne of grace has grace that will be dispensed to us, in grace to help in time of need. when you need it. You can run there and appropriate it by faith. We are the only people on earth that have an open invitation to the throne of grace. We're the only people on earth that have access to the throne of grace without condemnation because Jesus paid it all. There's not one charge at the throne of grace against you. Did you know that? No, we're the only people that can enter, and we enter by the greatest name, the most powerful name, the name that has been exalted above every name, gains us entry. We come as sons and daughters of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And we walk right in. And we can do so 24/7, loved one. And he says, oh, praying there in the Spirit. The devil wants you ignorant of the Holy Spirit. He is our divine helper. He is the Spirit of truth. He's our strengthener. He is our comforter. Amen. He doesn't want you to pray in the Spirit because, see, if you, with the Spirit, remember what it says in Romans? That we don't always know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit, he helps us pray the things that we ought to pray. And that is, he helps us to pray into the will of God. Amen? But we need him. We have the greatest intercessory prayer partner in the universe, loved one, that'll pray with you and help you. And so the devil doesn't want that at all. He doesn't want you to know who the Holy Spirit is. He wants you to grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit or vex the Holy Spirit, make him sad. Listen, he doesn't want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen? Treat the Holy Spirit as a doctrine. That's okay. Well, he is a doctrine, but he's also a person. Amen? He's not an essence or a force or an it. He is the third of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you something. Prayer. That perseverance in prayer. And it's getting late. I've got so many scriptures. And I'll just listen. Luke 18:1. Perseverance in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Amen. Matthew 7:7. Ask, knock, seek. Remember? James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. Well, that's that perseverance in prayer. But it says the object of our prayers are each other, all the saints. Why? Because we're all in the same war. We should be encouraging each other. Stand firm. Don't do this. Don't chase peace. And we should say, no. We know the Word of God. We've got these promises right here. We know what to do to win. And we pray for each other because we're all in the same battle. We have the same enemy. Amen? We should do that. But listen to me. When we pray, prayer without faith is not prayer. Do you understand? I don't care how fervent it is, how loud it is. Prayer without faith is not prayer. Now, let's close out. The church must be about the Lord's business in 2025, not the world's business. Amen? Now, the world is going to pass away, loved one, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, listen carefully. Let me just say what I opened with. I want you to get this before we close. You cannot relax when it comes to spiritual warfare in 2025. You can't do that. You cannot let down your guard. You can't lay aside the armor because 2025, spiritual warfare is going to increase. It's going to accelerate. And you'll see it visibly accelerating with the deeds and the actions and the things that are going to be done here in the future. Again, he wants you to be in the wrong place. He wants you to be in the wrong place, meaning not in church, not in prayer, not in the Word, not in the will of God. He wants you to be in the wrong place at that right time, not for you, but for his right time. He wants you to be a victim and not a victor. But if you stand firm, you have all you need. I told the early service, and I'm going to wrap it up right now. If you'll look back quickly with me to verse 15 and about shodding your feet with the preparation, your feet. Are feet important? Yes. Man, listen, I was in the Army. I was 11 Bravo, man. Your feet are important. You know what I'm saying? You ever watched that movie, Forrest Gump? Remember Lieutenant Dan when they landed in Vietnam? He says, you got to keep your feet, or whatever he said. Protect your feet. That's what it was. Well, you do. Do you want to be a victim or you want to be victor? Okay, you got to protect your feet. You can't have a foot in the world and a foot in the church. Okay? You have to have them both where they belong. You belong to Jesus now. Amen? So you need to do what Jesus has told us to do. And here's what you want to do. You're in attack. Maybe you're in attack right now. Your marriage is in attack. Your children are in attack. Whatever it might be, whatever battle Satan is throwing at you, why don't you do this? Just draw a big old circle, and you get into that circle, and then you open up that Bible, and here's what you do. You say to yourself, I am going to stand firm right now in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen? I'm going to stand firm, having girded my waist with truth. I'm going to stand firm because I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to stand firm because I've shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've taken up the shield of faith. I'm going to stand firm because I'm taking the helmet of salvation. I'm taking the sword of the Spirit, and I'm going to stand because I'm going to pray all the time, and I'm going to stand. I'm not moving anywhere. You can't knock me down because I'm in Christ. What did Paul say? You may knock me down, but you'll never knock me out. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. May the Lord be with you all. Peace in every way, no matter what you're going through. You have to fight. You have to fight the good fight of faith. And here's how you do it. You enforce, listen now, stand firm in 2025. How do you do it? You took what we just learned and you enforce Jesus' victory that he won for us. Amen? Has he defeated the powers of darkness? Yes. Colossians what? 2:16? Did he triumph over them in the cross? Yes. 1 John, was it 3:8, someplace in there? It says that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. He did. He is defeated. We're not defeated. We'll never be defeated. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus who loves us. Amen? Amen. But you know something? If you don't know Jesus, how are you going to be a victor in 2025? Are you going to be prey for the wicked one? You don't have to be. But I can tell you this, if Jesus is not your Lord, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you're open game for the devil. I'm sorry, but you don't have to be. Jesus will take you out of that right now if you will come to him. As our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, and every Christian praying, if Jesus is not your Lord, you've never asked him to be your Lord, you can do so right now. Simply not coming down here, but just lifting up your hand to heaven and saying, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. Is there anyone? Say, Bill, that's me. If you do, lift your hand high and put it right back down, and we're going to close this service with prayer. Anyone at all, but I have to see it. Stick it way up and put it right back down. Last call. I'll not ask again. If God is knocking on your heart, please let him in. Father, I don't think I see any hands at all. But maybe you're listening live or on the radio or wherever right now, and you're saying, Bill, my hand is up within here. You ask Jesus right now, say, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. Save me now, please, in Jesus' name, and he'll do so. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for a brand new year, and we're going to stand firm, Lord, every day. We're going to help each other stand firm. We're going to be there for each other in battle. We're not alone. We'll never be alone. Never. Not at Calvary. Never. We love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is